will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room. I'm your host, Rick Wilson. As always, proud to be with you today. The elephant in the room today is corruption and justice. And unfortunately, in America, corruption and justice do not go hand in hand. The corruption we've seen in this country in the last decade, but in particular in the last 13 months, is astounding. I'm going to say 13 months because the minute Donald Trump won the 2024 election, the cha-ching that rang from the halls of Washington, D.C. and Mar-a-Lago into the rest of the country was astounding. This country is in the midst of the largest political cover-up and the largest exercise in raw corruption in its history. And that's a big elephant in the room. Because if your country is so corrupt, so beyond the pale, so insanely taken with the protection of an elite class of people, you don't really have a republic. You don't really have a democracy. You don't really have a nation of laws. You have a nation of men, which is what our founders, and back when the conservatives believed in such things, were very concerned about. And I was driven to sort of a thought experiment today because on Thursday, we got the news, Thursday morning early, Wednesday night late, that Prince Andrew Mountbatten Windsor had been arrested.
Returning to our breaking news now from the UK, let's go live to Ben Downey in London. Ben, police have arrested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
Rick, they have. This is nothing short of historic. Six unmarked police vehicles arriving at Andrew's Sandringham address and entering the building, taking him into custody. Development that's happened in just the past few moments. Officers say they've arrested him for misconduct in public office. That is after revelations came through in the Epstein files detailing the alleged leaking of secrets and trade documents to the pedophile from Andrew's own email address. There is nothing yet to say about any alleged offences to do with human trafficking, which the former prince is still currently being investigated for. But this astonishing development is actually taking place on his 66th birthday. In just the last few moments, police have put out a statement that reads, "Following a thorough assessment, we have now opened an investigation into this allegation of misconduct in public office. It's important that we protect the integrity and objectivity of our investigation as we work with our partners to investigate this alleged offence. We understand the significant public interest in this case and we will provide updates at the appropriate time." There are at least seven police officers currently investigating or probing allegations around Andrew that have come through from the Epstein files release. The maximum penalty for misconduct in public office is life in prison, and should the former prince be sent to jail, it would be the first member of the royal family jailed in centuries.
The king's brother had been arrested. The arrest came from the abuse of his power in the pursuit of his official duties because of his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. And Andrew Mountbatten, Prince Andrew, was deeply involved with Jeffrey Epstein, including the proven abuse of Virginia Giuffre.
I believe it was 3 o'clock in the morning when we got the call from Virginia's very dear friend and publicist, Dini Von Moefling, who has been like partnering with us throughout this journey. And it was such a mixed bag of emotions. I think initially we were like vindicated and screaming at one point at 3 a.m. And then, you know, it just hits you, that gut punch of the fact that she's not here to see this, that we're not able to call her and tell her how like astronomically proud we are of her. And so days like this are always such a big mix of emotions. But the thing that we say every day is like, it's so hard to get wins during this fight. And so when they come, live in them and really enjoy them and celebrate them. And this is a victory for Virginia.
As the day progresses, like right before this interview, we went out and got some breakfast real quick because we got a long day ahead of us. And, you know, I just started crying in the middle of a breakfast. I'm like, man, people probably think I'm psycho over here. Yeah. But the reality is, like, it just hits you in certain ways. And I think that's what we're going to experience throughout the day and even to come, because her survivor sisters are so proud of her, too. I mean, this is just such a win for Virginia and for all survivors out there, truly.
Andrew Mountbatten has been arrested. You know what the King of England said about it? He said the law was going to take its course. That justice was more important. I want you to imagine for a moment that happening in America, because you can't. The protection of the people in the Epstein files, from Donald Trump to Alan Dershowitz to Bill Gates, God knows who, how many other people, is a repulsive example that there's not a standard of justice that is applied transparently without regard to your wealth or your status or your connections or the size of the fleet of your private jets or the size of your yacht at St. Bart's. And accountability and justice, you would hope, would be served by the Department of Justice. But I was imagining what it would be like if we had a country that was even as brave as England to arrest the kind of people that were involved in this. And the things that Prince Andrew did were 25 years ago. But you know what? They decided that accountability mattered up and down the chain, and no matter when you committed the crime. What would it be like if we had that standard here? Imagine these people that are in the Epstein files, they are at the firmament. They're in the pinnacle of global power. I would like to see somebody, not just one or two somebodies, but a lot of somebodies, not like the lower tier assistants and factors and facilitators. I want to see somebody, not somebody who's quietly like drifting into obscurity. I want to see members of this class, of the Epstein class of people in this country, get arrested and prosecuted because their crimes are evident. And look, not everybody that he exchanged emails with or who ate dinner with him or who knew him socially was a child molester. But there were child molesters among them. Not everyone who he was emailing with was a rapist, but there were rapists among them. I would love to see these people have to face the victims, these women who carry to this day the mental and physical scars imprinted on them by Jeffrey Epstein and his friends. I would love to see these people have to have this dragged out in public.
Get the files out. They are slow walking it. They are redacting the names of men who are in it. They are stonewalling legitimate requests from members of Congress. That has nothing to do with us. Something is going on. They know it. I know it. If they're going to have me testify, I would prefer to do it in public because I want everybody to see it at the same time. If I have to do it behind closed doors, they're not going to like what I have to say because I have very strong opinions about what it is they're hiding and who they are protecting.
President Trump responded to the controversy yesterday, saying he has nothing to hide. He added, quote, they went in hoping they'd find it and found just the opposite. I've been totally exonerated.
You know why I wanted to drag it out in public? Because in America, the superpower of the MAGA right and the superpower of the money class, whether that is Wall Street or Washington or Silicon Valley, is shamelessness. They believe they can never be held to account. I want to see them have to do what Pam Bondi, that egregious monster, that C word, which I can't say, I can't bring myself to say it, but you guys know. The other day, a woman said to me, she goes, I hated that word for generations, and now I just see her face and I want to say it. As my grandmother would say, that is a TWA, you know what. But to force these people to do what Pam Bondi wouldn't do and look the victims in the eyes. Because those victims now who are grown women were little girls then, were children in many cases. I would like to see that standard applied completely consistently. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Zoroastrian. I want that standard to apply everywhere. Because you know what? If we did that, it would be, I think, transformative in this country. It would not be a calm, tidy, nice little wrapped up in a bow trial punishment sequence. You would see something in this country that would reveal the contours of a class of people who believe, largely rightly, that they are immune from the law, that they are immune, that there is no social or political or financial consequence to raping young girls. And there's no political or social or financial consequence to advising a known pedophile and child trafficker on how to rehab his reputation. Steve Bannon, looking at you, buddy. Looking at you there, chief. All those emails with Epstein. Like the white shoe law firms around this country would be, you'd hear the cha-ching from those places, because if you started holding these people to account, they will lawyer up. They will get PR firms. They will get advertising. They will get all the kinds of communication stuff. They will flood the zones on social with hired trolls. They will do everything they can to defend themselves. But in this moment, in this day and age, we now know who these people are. We know what they knew. Not one of these people around Jeffrey Epstein was naive. These were sophisticated individuals. And they were willing to overlook the fact that he was a known pedophile and child trafficker so that they could take advantage not only of his access to people, his connections to people, his financial acumen, whatever it was, but a lot of them, again, not all, but many, more than we need it running free in society, made peace with Jeffrey Epstein because they wanted to fuck young girls, underage girls. They wanted to rape younger and underage girls. They wanted Jeffrey Epstein as their pimp in an absolutely degenerate, violent, grotesque set of behaviors that no one should tolerate. And you know what? I want them to be in public because I want their wives to see this, and I want their children to see this, and I want their grandchildren to see this, and I want them dragged through a living hell of humiliation and expense and legal peril. Because right now, one person's in jail, and she may not be for long, and that's Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, she deserves to spend the rest of her life in a dark hole. She deserves to spend every minute of her remaining life in solitary confinement where she can never, ever hurt another person. Because Ghislaine Maxwell was the implementer, the facilitator, the fixer, and knew exactly what was going on. But guys, this isn't about just the characters at the top of the waterline. It is about this sort of decadent confidence that very wealthy people in this country now have. That the laws don't apply to them, that they can always buy their way out with an NDA or a settlement, and that consequence doesn't exist for them. And that's why I want to dig down into this. I want not just these lower level players. I don't care about the house boy. I don't care about I care about Maxwell, but I want to see the people, these top-tier donors and politicians and CEOs and congressional officials and cabinet members and media players and celebrity academics, Steven Pinker, hello, who all think that wealth is insulation, that power and connections are the armor for them, and that the rules are for the little people. Prince Andrew's arrest in England has generated a sort of vibe of like, oh, good. Oh, lovely. Lovely. That's appropriate. If it happened here, it would immediately become incredibly politicized. And I'll tell you why. Because the MAGA members of Congress and of the leadership class, they recognize that while there are some Democrats on that list, while there are some Democratic names communicating with Jeffrey Epstein and enjoying Epstein's horrifying services, they know Donald Trump's at the pinnacle of it. Names mentioned tens of thousands of times. They know Epstein was communicating with Putin, and in fact, through an intermediary, was talking about how they could pressure Trump.
A series of emails released showed Jeffrey Epstein, the disgraced financier and convicted sex offender, claimed he could provide the Kremlin with valuable insight into then-President Donald Trump ahead of his controversial summit with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. Epstein reached out to Thorbjørn Jagland, then Secretary General of the Council of Europe, suggesting he could convey a message to Putin on how to handle Trump. In a June 2018 email, Epstein elaborated on his perspective of Trump, who was in his first term as president, telling Jagland that understanding Trump is not complex. He added that Trump must be seen to get something. Epstein further referenced the late Vitaly Churkin, Russia's ambassador to the United Nations, noting Churkin understood Trump after our conversations and suggesting that Jagland relay similar guidance to Putin through Sergei Lavrov, Russia's veteran foreign minister.
We know that the FBI has now removed files where credible witnesses, including an underage woman, underage girl at the time, said that they were assaulted by Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is in the Epstein files thousands and thousands of times. In those files, there's highly disturbing allegations of Donald Trump raping children, of Donald Trump threatening to kill children. So I encourage your press to go look at these allegations, and I'm highly disturbed that Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche just got the law wrong. Yesterday, he said essentially that it is not a crime to party with Jeffrey Epstein. Well, that's actually not correct. If Jeffrey Epstein was human trafficking minors for these sex parties, and you show up and patronize the establishment at that party, yes, you're guilty, because patronizing is part of the law, the federal sex trafficking laws.
The FBI has removed those from the Epstein disclosures. Now, luckily, we still have them. But they know, MAGA knows, that they are now the sword and shield, which is the old nickname for the KGB, by the way. They're now the sword and shield of a cover-up that would sweep apart all the defenses of this long-running MAGA mindset that there's a secret cabal of pedophiles running the known universe. This would become tribal warfare, and you would see that the weird post-conservative MAGA belief set that billionaires can do nothing wrong because they've made a lot of money, and that we owe them protection because they've made a lot of money, how that inevitably leads to the conclusion that, oh, billionaires having sex with children is okay. But if you got these people into court, if you got them into the dock, if you got them into places where their money and their power, yeah, sure, they can bring in great lawyers. They can do a lot of delaying tactics. But you need these people in the spotlight. They're cockroaches. No matter how much money they have, they're cockroaches in our society, crawling in the walls, feeding on the waste. And they have never, for a moment, for the last, I don't know how many years, 30 years, 50 years, believed that they could be held to account. And in the last decade, they know they can just call up, little Donnie Trump's pardonorama, write a check, and get off. But you know what happened if you did this? It would ripple out. And the people that you can't say committed crimes, but that you can say were Jeffrey Epstein's associates, who were his friends, who would go to dinner with him, who would hang out with him, who would go visit the island, who would go get into business with him, Howard Lutnick. All of a sudden, if you made this a public case about these people, corporate boards would suddenly get very nervous. Universities would go, hey, we got to check these donors out a little better. Foundations would be very nervous because they were a lot of this foundation money that Epstein was laying around there. People would be very nervous. Political candidates, John Husted in the state of Ohio, took $100,000 this month from Les Wexner, who was very much in the center of the Epstein operation. You'd see podcast networks and carriers say, yeah, you know, Steve Bannon being Jeffrey Epstein's chief counselor to rehab his reputation, we're going to take him off our network. Spotify, Apple. Not that Apple would do anything now. They're increasingly becoming very Trumpy. But these people live in a world where they're all on the same boards, and they're all in the same private clubs, and they're all members of these foundation, you know, fundraising committees, all these things. Remember what I said. The superpower of MAGA is that shamelessness, okay? That sense of insulation. And the superpower of these billionaires is that it's real for them. You know, the people that engineered Epstein's comeback and his media rehab and all of his continued access to money and power after he was found to be a pedophile and a child molester, those people live in a beautiful world. We call it the beautiful life. And it's this cocktail circuit from Davos to Aspen to Georgetown, Nantucket, Atherton, all these, you know, Coral Gables, all these beautiful places where people with more money than you understand, where people with more money and power than you understand literally believe they can get away with murder, where hanging out with a pedophile, not a big deal for them, not a big thing for them. That ecosystem relies on that belief that no one will ever pay a price. And I say this, and this, the subject being corruption, because this is the most fundamental kind of corruption in our society, that there are two types of people. One has the law that applies to them, and one does not. And the reason I'm concerned about this is because while I don't know who it is, there's another Jeffrey Epstein out there right now, this minute. I assure you of that. Unfortunately, society, as we know it, is corrupt and fallen. And somewhere out there, there's another guy. It's almost certainly a man, but he's a facilitator. He's a connector. He has a lifestyle that can draw in the bait that rich people love, whether it's the brilliant academics or celebrities or money people. I don't know who it is. Like I said, I don't know the name of this person, but I know there is a person like this. There has probably always existed a person like this in society. And while that surface bait of money and power and connection, celebrity, all those things is important, there's something else underneath it. It's not just the power and the introductions and the connections. This would be somebody who's wealthy enough to have his own jet, you know, deal with the billionaire and centimillionaire classes very casually, very easily. But what he has also just under the surface, and the people are drawn into the net of this new Epstein, drawn into that world. Maybe they're not drawn into the net. They swim into it willingly because he also has around him young girls and young boys. They're willing to look past the sort of hollow eyes and dead souls of these young boys and young girls because they're degenerates. And they think that it's their right to rape them, to abuse them. It's their right because they live in a different class than we do. They live in a different world than we do. They live in that beautiful life. They go somewhere. They rape somebody. They get on their jet and go home to their wives and their beautiful children in their beautiful homes, in their beautiful lives, without consequence, without accountability, without justice. A society that has that corruption at its heart will always end up having an Epstein. He will always be there cataloging and taping and watching and understanding the darkest impulses of the most powerful men. And by the way, I'm going to say it again, because the lamest defense of the Jeffrey Epstein class is, oh, there's some Democrats there too. Yeah. Okay. But these are powerful men, and they're Republicans, and they're Democrats, and they're MAGA, and they're Trump supporters, and they're not Trump supporters, and they're in Washington, and they're in Wall Street, and they're in Silicon Valley. And whoever the new Epstein is knows about their predilections, their fantasies, their fetishes, their desires. And Jeffrey Epstein knew those secrets of a powerful class of men in this country. And the irony is, and I want to go back to this for a second because it is an essential element of the corruption right now. The irony is the Republicans, MAGA in particular, once believed that Jeffrey Epstein was the Rosetta Stone to this secret cabal of global pedophiles. I'll skip the pizza restaurant story. You all know it. But they thought that cabal controlled everything. The banks, Wall Street, money, Hollywood, everything.
They were right. They were right. That cabal controls so much because it is so powerful, because it is so unaccountable, because it is so far beyond the reach of justice and law. But now,
every Republican that wants to stay in Donald Trump's good graces, and that is 99% of them, every Republican now is the sword and shield.
And nothing has separated voters from Donald Trump more effectively than the perception that Donald Trump is covering up for his old friend Jeffrey Epstein and himself by spending the year refusing to release the Epstein files and then making sure that 3 million pages of the Epstein files have not been released as they were required to be released by law. A clear majority of Americans, 53%, now believe Donald Trump is trying to cover up his friend Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. Republicans who control the House Oversight Committee were forced by the Democrats on the committee, with some cooperation by Republicans, to investigate the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein. But most Republicans on the committee have also tried to help Donald Trump in whatever way they can. And one way they decided they could help Donald Trump is by sending a subpoena to a wife of a president who never met Jeffrey Epstein. There is only one first lady in American history who we know met Jeffrey Epstein, and that is Donald Trump's third and current wife. Why did the Republicans on the committee seek to subpoena Hillary Clinton, who says she never met Jeffrey Epstein, and not subpoena Melania Trump? The first question under oath the committee should ask to Melania Trump is, who introduced you to Jeffrey Epstein? Did Donald Trump introduce you to Jeffrey Epstein, or did Jeffrey Epstein introduce you to Donald Trump?
They are defending the cover-up. They are engaged in the cover-up from Pamela Jo Bondi and Todd Blanche and Kash Patel and the rest of them. They are defending the protection of pedophiles and rapists and abusers of young girls, because they know Donald Trump is at the center of this vortex, that he's the guy who was so tied to Epstein for so long. They're defending the release of other information because they know that these men on this list are their donors and their supporters and their friends. Unless you put people in the spotlight, unless you put them in the witness stand, unless you put them on trial, unless you put some of them in prison, this culture will grow. You know, we've got more billionaires every week in this country. Why? Wall Street, Silicon Valley. Do you know why? Because just like this lack of accountability and law and justice, where everybody else has to play by the rules, Silicon Valley and Wall Street and Washington do not have to play by the rules. In Washington, stock trading, insider trading is run rampant. Now, these guys are making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in the market. They don't care. They're using inside information to do it. In the White House, people are betting on Polymarket for things that they know the president's going to do and making hundreds of thousands of dollars. In the Trump family, they're accepting bribes from all around the globe to influence the president. The corruption is what's building the billionaires in this country. Wall Street gets away with murder. Silicon Valley is wildly engaged in a global rape and pillage of your privacy, of your information. They are about to break the entire economy, and white-collar jobs are about to disappear by the tens of millions. It's going to make the Great Depression look like a warm-up act. And as that economy disappears, they will be unaccountable. Do you know why? They're part of the club. And you ain't in it. They're a protected class. OpenAI and Gemini and Claude are amazing tools. But they're amazing tools that are about to blow out the guts and heart of this economy with tens. And you could make an argument that approaches close to 100 million Americans who have their immediate financial lives at risk. I'm not talking 5 years from now. We're talking this year, next year. They're not going to do UBI. They're not going to do a relocation or a transformation thing. They're not going to share in the gigantic prosperity that Silicon Valley will derive from the destruction of the center of the American economy. They will say, got mine, bro, and fly to their backup homes on Kauai or in New Zealand if things go wrong. The financial corruption of the country is linked directly to the moral corruption that Jeffrey Epstein and the new Jeffrey Epstein, whoever that is, represents. Nobody wants to say this out loud, but if Americans were prosecuted and exposed on credible, corroborated evidence, on the witness testimony, on the travel logs, on the financial records, on their emails, and convicted in open court, it would blow a big hole in Washington and Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and very wealthy people. It would end the careers of a lot of celebrity academics. It would end the careers of a lot of PR people. It would end the careers of Steve Bannon, who richly deserves it. Do not let Bannon retcon this. He's like, oh, I was just making a documentary and I was trying to find out his secret. Bullshit. Bullshit. Steve Bannon was a fucking ally to Jeffrey Epstein at the highest level. He was working with Epstein on right-wing takeovers of countries around the world. He was working with Epstein on the most dark and disgusting aspects of the national populist movement around the globe. Do not let Steve Bannon escape from this. He knew exactly who he was in bed with.
I would say everyone said, I want the money for my children.
Did they know where the money came from?
I think if I told them the devil 100%. The devil
himself.
The devil himself said, I'm going to exchange some dollars for your child's life.
Do you think you're the devil himself?
No, but I do have a good mirror.
It's a serious question. Do you think you're the devil himself?
I don't know. Why would you say that?
Because you have all the attributes. You're incredibly smart. You remember, the devil is somebody
knows.
Smart? The devil's brilliant. You read Milton's Paradise Lost.
The devil scares me.
He knew precisely what he was doing. Steve Bannon knew exactly what was happening. And by the way, I'm going to tell you all a secret. You know why Steve Bannon still continues to survive? Because he's a great source for Washington, D.C. mainstream reporters. He will talk to anybody, anytime, day or night. He gives great quote. He's got a lot of sources around Trump world. And these reporters who call him up, these respectable mainstream reporters who call him up, they owe him. And they don't go at Bannon the way Bannon needs to be gone at. Bannon needs to be in prison. Bannon is a vastly, wildly corrupt individual. The Mercers cut him off because he stole money. Bet me. And try me, Steve. Sue me, motherfucker. Try me. He got cut off from them because they didn't know where the money was going. He got caught in a build the wall fraud. He refuses to testify before Congress. That's why he went to jail, went to prison. He got pardoned by Trump because Trump is afraid that Bannon knows where too many bodies are buried. If you have a man like Steve Bannon in the heart of American politics and media, that is a corruption and a cancer that this society can ill afford. That's just my brief Bannon rant. But folks, if we live in a country that doesn't have a ladder of justice that goes up and not just down, everything you think you believe in is a lie. If you're a conservative and you think that the rule of law should only apply to the poor, but that the wealthy people above you are somebody going to trickle down some money to you, give you a contract for PR or lobbying or legal work or whatever, you don't live in a country with a free market. You don't live in a country with a rule of law. You don't live in a country that has a constitution or principles. You live in a country that is governed by the most corrupt people who believe themselves, sometimes rightly, to be beyond the reach of the law and of justice and of society. You know, Epstein was not just a horrifying predator. He was a kind of a node, a connection system, a router. And the social currency of the people that he dealt with has one thing underneath it all. Their wealth makes them feel untouchable. And look, it's not going to happen while Trump is in office. But the revelation that is required, not only under the law, but for a fundamental sense of American justice and for a fundamental sense of trying to restore the tiniest shred of faith in the American enterprise, in the American system, everything in those files has to come out that connects this strata of wealthy and powerful people. The names of the victims were already released by the Justice Department, but they're fighting tooth and nail. They're fighting every minute of the day to protect the names of these people. They're doing everything they can from Donald Trump on down to redact and to shred and destroy. And by the way, if you don't think they've destroyed evidence and records and that that will eventually be found out, you got another thing coming. There needs to be a forensic accounting of the Epstein materials. It's not going to happen while Trump's in office, but it's going to happen. And when that does, as a country, we have to commit ourselves to justice for these victims, to justice for these families of the victims who aren't with us anymore, like Virginia Giuffre. Epstein is a mirror. He's holding up a, this scandal has held up a mirror to us as a country. We have to decide, are we going to be a nation that is so comfortable with this degeneracy and this corruption and this evil that for political purposes, we watch an entire party mount a full court defense of Jeffrey Epstein? And that's one thing you should really understand. They're not just defending Trump. They're defending Jeffrey Epstein.
Is there any chance that any of these individuals who partied with Epstein and engaged in relations with minors will be prosecuted? Well, any chance?
I'll never say no. And we will always investigate any evidence of misconduct. But as you know, it is not a crime to party with Mr. Epstein. And so as horrible as it's not a crime to email with Mr. Epstein. And some of these men may have done horrible things. And if we have evidence that allows us to prosecute them, you better believe we will. But it's also the kind of thing that, that the American people need to understand that it isn't a crime to party with Mr. Epstein. It isn't a crime to have
Blanche's
Island.
Didn't look like that's all that was going on some of those photos. I mean, if the photos could speak, some of them look pretty bad.
That's right. And unfortunately, photos can't speak.
They're defending the work he did of evil. They're defending the rapes, the child trafficking, the pedophilia. They're defending a dark and evil guy. You saw a perfect example of it on Thursday. Les Wexner called before a congressional committee. Not a single Republican showed up. Not one. They're disinterested. Do you know why? Because Les Wexner was deeply tied to Epstein.
We should be very clear that the two were very close per reporting. They spent a lot of time together. Mr. Wexner admitted that he traveled to both Epstein's island as well as his other properties. Mr. Wexner also admitted that Jeffrey Epstein had access to a lot of Mr. Wexner's wealth. And when asked even simple questions, even as it relates to Mr. Epstein being the co-president of the foundation that established the area that we're in today, Mr. Wexner had little to say. In fact, it's clear that Mr. Wexner is trying to downplay how close Jeffrey Epstein and Mr. Wexner actually were. And we should be very clear that there would be no Epstein Island, there'd be no Epstein plane, there'd be no money to traffic women and girls. Mr. Epstein would not be the wealthy man he was without the support of Les Wexner. I think it's very important for us to note at this moment.
He was a co-conspirator with Epstein. He was named in the Justice Department's own investigations as a co-conspirator. But guess what? The DOJ has never interviewed him. The FBI hasn't interviewed him. You know why? Because it would hurt Trump. It would hurt and expose Trump's allies. And Wexner's been a big donor to Republicans in the Senate. John Husted in Ohio took $100,000 from him just recently. Not a guy who is unsophisticated, who he does understand what's going on. He knows who Les Wexner is. But the Republicans' indifference to the truth of the relationships with billionaires like Les Wexner and Jeffrey Epstein tells you everything about how profoundly and fundamentally corrupt they are in the defense of the Epstein class, in the defense of Epstein's allies and friends and associates. And that corruption, they're rubbing it in your face. They're rubbing the corruption right in your nose, right in your face, shoving it in your face every minute. It's repulsive. And I will tell you, when the Republicans lose the House, and when the Republicans lose the Senate, if Democrats drop the ball on this, the American people will never forgive them. Yeah, do the economic stuff. But if you let this go, if you're like, oh, well, you know, we're just going to move past it, they will never forgive you. If we have a system where there's one set of rules for them and one set of rules for you, we don't have a system. We have essentially a monarchy, where the kings and the dukes and the earls and the barons and the viscounts have one set of rules, and the serfs and the proles have another. Those systems are an insult to the 250 years of American liberty and freedom and democracy and a rule of law. And when I look back at the wreckage, I'm drawn back to almost every revolution in history. Revolutions come from the bottom up. When a society is so corrupt, so broken, so sick, and has two classes of people, and it's not just about money, it's about accountability. Those societies are ones where you should go long in the market on tumbrils and guillotines and pitchforks and torches. Because I think if we don't hold these people accountable, Americans are going to know deep in their heart that law that holds them in line is invalid, is unjust, because justice has to run all the way up the social and financial ladder and all the way down the social and financial ladder. You know, a guy in a trailer park in ass crack Alabama who has sex with an underage girl goes to prison for 30 years or life. A guy who goes to Epstein's Island, who's, I don't know, a professor at Harvard or a financial powerhouse somewhere or a Silicon Valley executive, he gets the girl to sign an NDA, signs a settlement, gets it out of court, kills it. That's not justice. That's not the country you should want to live in. But the men who run the banks and who run the AI firms and who run Wall Street and who run Washington are hoping that you're going to be okay with two systems, one for them and one for you. Justice and corruption are enemies. You should be on the side of justice. But right now, the corruption and the defense of Jeffrey Epstein is a warning that we're not going to survive this unless we hold people to account. And that, my friends, is this week's elephant in the room. Hey, thanks, everybody. I want to make sure that you can catch me on the Lincoln Project podcast every couple of days, feels like. On Tuesday nights, I am on the strategy session on Lincoln Square. Thursday nights on the breakdown from Lincoln Project, simulcast on Lincoln Square. Fridays, you can catch me and Andrew Wilson on Behind the Numbers. That is an exciting, an increasingly weirdly popular show. We talk about the polling and the statistical stuff that's going on underneath the surface in America in a way that people have found very useful to contextualize what's happening in our politics right now. And I can tell you, one of the biggest seams we found in that, in all the polling, Epstein's killing the Republican Party. He's breaking the Republican Party apart. and God bless him for it, right? The one thing he did, what he's done in death has been to fracture the GOP. What else? You can also catch me on my Substack, Against All Enemies. Check that out. I write several times a week, and I have a Friday newsletter called The Friday Brief, which includes not only my take on big issues of the week, but adorable cat photos and adorable photos of my adorably beautiful wife. That is what we do. You can also check me out at the Lincoln Project and at Lincoln Advocacy, which has got a phenomenal billboard running right now in Times Square called Tyranny is Just Around the Corner. And tyranny is just around the corner, folks. That's why we fight every day. That's why we fight on the narrative front. So we fight on the political front. So we fight with other groups to make sure that we push back against a country that is run by people right now who are unaccountable and dangerous to everyone. And that's why we fight every day to protect this republic. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you again next week.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.